got a basketball jump, so baby, ooh. Yes, I'm the victim of a basketball jump. Ever since I was a little baby, I always be dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball. And I love that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me.
You just saw history made in Thompson Bowling Arena. Welcome to Basketball OT. Brian Hartman filling in for Tony Basilio. A very happy Tony Basilio as him and Anthony just witnessed the Philadelphia Eagles advance to the conference championship game next week with a 15-10 win over the Atlanta Falcons. But enough of that nonsense. More importantly, back home on the home front at Thompson Bowling Arena, the Tennessee Volunteers improved to 3-2. In the SEC, that's their third straight win in conference play after dropping the last their first two as they defeat Texas A&M 75-62 at Thompson Bowling Arena. And I'm going to bring in my special guest to start off the show, Bino, Jeff Henderson. Bino, the ghost of Anton Space has finally been exorcised from Thompson Bowling Arena. That is the first Tennessee win over Texas A&M in Knoxville since the Aggies joined the Southeastern Conference. Tennessee had been 0-3.
Wow, Brian, I had no idea that they had never beaten Texas A&M in Knoxville. That is a good tidbit there. And Brian, you're way down on your depth chart here, but I stand ready to answer the call when you get this low and you have to go to the bottom of your bench. So I'm ready to go.
Well, I'm a recruiting machine like Alabama is. I always know to slide some extra Benjis in the pillowcase there for you. But Tennessee finally comes out at home. This is a game that had many people worried for whatever reason. And I guess I can see the point. Texas A&M finally had their full roster available. They were healthy playing on the road. But I'll tell you this. The second of back-to-back road games in the SEC is tough. You saw them lose a really tough game against Kentucky the other night, a one-point game where they almost should have probably won that one. And they got to come and turn around and go to Knoxville a few days later and play a Tennessee team that's hot right now and that's having a pretty good season. And my second point is Rick Barnes against Billy Kennedy. I like Rick Barnes in that matchup. No offense to Billy Kennedy.
You know, Brian, I was one of the guys you talked about that was seriously concerned about this game for the exact reasons that you gave. That's a really good win for Tennessee. They beat the best Texas A&M team that anyone has seen since early December. They've had DJ Hogue and Admond Gilder and Dwayne Wilson and Robert Williams all either out by injury or suspension or something. It's really the first time since, I believe, December 6th. Since they've had the lineup on the court that they wanted to have. I thought Tennessee played their most complete game of the season, and I thought the two big things tonight were they were able to win on a night when Grant Williams wasn't at his best from a scoring standpoint. I thought he played well in all other phases, and they finished the game. Did not let a game get away. A&M cut the lead to 6. But Tennessee was able to withstand every run that they made. That is a real solid win for Tennessee.
Our number to call in on is 865-200-5402. You're listening to Basketball Overtime on the Tony Basilio app and networks. Let's go to our first caller. Who do we have? Welcome to the show.
Bryony, Bino, John Tweet.
Tweety
hey,
Bird.
Tweety. You know, pretty big win there, in my opinion. I think, Bino, we talked about it Friday, like Grant wasn't going to be able to do what he normally could do, and you would need some from either who? Bone and Bowden, maybe Turner. And I think Jordan Bone probably had a quiet like 10 to 12. Does that sound right? I don't have the stats. You guys might have them pulled up.
I'm going to pull them up here just a second.
This I don't have slow. The box score tweak, but you're right. And I thought that Grant was somewhat faced by their length, but he also had a hard luck night shooting a lot of rattle balls that came out where he actually had a pretty good release and that came out. But Tennessee was able to make up for it with some big plays from both Jordans. Both Jordans came up big, and I thought Kyle Alexander played an outstanding game. Not a lot of points, but he played an outstanding basketball game doing what we needed him to do.
Alexander had at least 10, Bino, if not 15, I think. You'd have to look at it. Brian's got it, not me, but, I mean, I think he had 15 points.
Well, if he had 15, it was a real sneaky 15, but I thought that he was excellent both defensively and passing the ball. And the other thing that I thought we did extremely well, Tweet, was we kind of took away their size advantage a little bit because our guards kept going down there digging the ball away when it would go into the end of the paint.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought we were really good defensively most all night.
They that boy Hogue for them can play. God, he's what? He's up there.
He's 6'9".
Yeah, he can play. I mean, you know, it just. He had, I think, one or two rattle out late. I was worried we had a chance to go up 15, and then they get on a little run, and we're up 6 all of a sudden. And I'm like, well, here we go.
I was the same way.
The boys managed to, you know, pull it back, you know, or not pull it back, but, you know, take that lead back out. Bryony, did you find the box score? What did
I've got it right here. Alexander was 5 of 6 from the floor, 14 points. As a matter of fact,
wow.
Four Vols were in double figures, all between 15 and 10 points, and Grant Williams had a rough shooting night but finished with 9, 1 point short of double figures.
Yeah. Grant just – you can't have those guys down there 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", that they have, and it's just going to be tough for him. You know what I mean? He's going to get his, but he's not going to do what he did to Vandy. He's not going to – go down there and abuse.
Well, I'll tell you this, when it was a 6-point game late with about 2.5 minutes to play, he did have probably the biggest bucket of the game to put him back up by 8 after A&M sort of, I guess they had that 8-0 run to get from 14 down.
Yeah, it was out of a timeout too. It was a nice little set out of a timeout, which is not typically been what you see from Barnes, you know what I mean? They don't generally come out of a timeout and run a good set and get an easy look. I couldn't be happier with the win, guys. I mean, that's a big one because A&M, you probably caught them at the right time before they gel back up again when they have all those guys kind of playing together because the announcers were talking about it. That's the first game they've had everybody back.
Well, Tennessee had to have that game going out on the road for two where they go to Missouri Wednesday and then they go to South Carolina on Saturday. South Carolina had a big win today at Georgia. So although that's not – I don't think that's a daunting two-game stretch, but it's still a challenge going on the road and beating those teams even at that level. Is not going to be easy.
Well, I tell you this, Georgia's pretty good. And South, you know what I mean? Everybody in SEC is pretty good this year.
Even Vanderbilt's not going to be a gimme, and they're the worst team in the league record-wise.
Yeah, what, you talk about Missouri?
Vanderbilt, but they've got three seniors that have all been around and played a lot of ball together, so.
Boys, I'll jump off. I know you got other callers. Appreciate y'all doing the show. Be good.
Thank you, Tweety.
Thanks, Tweety. Hey, give me Grant's shooting line again, please.
Okay. Grant pulled down 5 rebounds. That's a positive. He had 2 assists and only 2 turnovers. Scored 9 points, but he was 3 of 13 from the floor and 3 of 4 from the foul line. So,
like I say, he had a lot of balls that he kind of shot in hard luck. But I thought he did a good job, even though he took 13 shots. I thought he did a good job of not forcing things. He found guys that were open in the first half when they were double teaming him. So I'll tell you this, Brian. Texas A&M is 0-5. I bet they don't lose 5 games the rest of the conference season.
Oh, they may not lose 3 games the rest of the conference season. I mean, it may be less than that. But here's something I want to point out before we get to the next caller. Texas A&M shot 44% from the floor, and even shot better from 3 ball. They shot 40%. Tennessee shot 41%, so 3 percentage points less from the floor overall, and shot only 5 of 17 from behind the 3-point arc. And still, Tennessee was able to win that game by 13 points because they got 7 more shots than A&M total. 60-A&M shot 54, Tennessee 61.
Just glancing at it without seeing the numbers, Brian, and I thought Tennessee did about as good a job on the defensive boards as they could possibly do. We didn't give up a lot of second opportunities to a big basketball team. So I thought Tennessee was just real sound in their box outs and in for the most part in their shot selection. And I know that in the first half that A&M turned the ball over 13 times to our five. How did that end out as far as turnovers?
Let's see, A&M had 17 turnovers. That's just too many to win on the road. That's another reason why Tennessee was able to come out on top. And the Vols only turned it over 10 times.
Yeah, okay,
but I thought the one where that led out to, that led the that was part of that AO run that A&M chopped the 14 point lead down to 8 or 6 or whatever it was going to be huge at the end of the game. I thought, oh boy, because that was a bad sign. But they overcame it. A&M got it. I think it was a cross court pass. I think it was Turner and maybe Daniel were involved in that one or something. I can't remember
James
who was
Daniels
the culprit.
Made the pass.
Yeah,
he's just really got to do a better job of handling the basketball late in basketball games for a fifth year senior. I mean, that's something that he should do well.
Let's go to our next caller. Who do we have?
What do you say, boys? Berto.
Bobby.
Hey, Roberto.
Good evening. I think you had two of the career best performances by players on the team tonight, and I'll make the argument. I think Jordan Bowden had his best game as a Vol, and I don't mean his best shooting game because that was clearly and unequivocally Wake Forest, but he did a lot more than just make threes tonight. He drove the ball to the hole. He spread the court. He had 6 rebounds. Do you guys realize we had 4 players with at least 9 points and 5 rebounds tonight? That's good. I mean, this is the most complete team effort we've seen all year.
He also shot 5. Okay. He was 5 of 5 from the free throw line, like you said. Tennessee,
right.
Tennessee was 20 of 24 from the free throw line. A&M 6 of 9. Only shot 9 free throws.
Boy, he really didn't foul much tonight. Really made buckets in big spots too, Roberto. He couldn't have.
Yes.
His timing couldn't have been any better as far as when he scored.
As bad as he was in our very last loss, which was against Auburn, and it was arguably his worst game this season, and possibly the worst of his career. He was that good tonight, and Kyle Alexander has totally revolutionized his game in the last 12 months. I'm really proud of him. I like the way he's playing. He's playing like a big. I will say he goes up soft sometimes, but I don't know. On the one where he went up for the dunk and got fouled, and you've got to finish that dunk. But other than that, I would say that this is his best game as a Vol.
And
he
you know
had
what,
a really
what they,
great game.
What they do the best is they do such a good job of getting everyone open shots and shots they can make.
Yes,
that's one thing I've noticed. I just trust right now Rick Barnes. I'm not sure there's a better floor coach than Rick Barnes in the SEC right now.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue one way or the other about it. I'll just say Rick Barnes has done a hell of a job with these guys. I'm pretty impressed. The one thing we need clearly is an elite level guard that can just shoot you. I mean, if Bowden can be your true two shooter, if you can get a guy that can distribute a little bit better, and I've got to give Bone his props too. He is, I mean, Rick Barnes is coaching him up clearly, because Bone looks like a totally different player this year. I'm really impressed. And we were sitting here, going to the Kentucky game thinking Tennessee was going to be 0-3 possibly, and now they're 3-2 in the conference. I tip my cap, and I'll be quiet on the Rick Barnes criticisms until he proves me otherwise again. But I was just really happy with the effort I saw, and it wasn't just effort. Like, we closed the game like we were supposed to. They kind of had a mini run there, and we just slammed the door shut. Do you know who scored the bucket? It was actually Williams, wasn't it? Who scored the bucket to stop the run?
Yeah, it was. That was mentioned earlier. Yeah, he had the little hook shot in the lane, and that's what they do. Everybody gets good looks in this offense.
Yep. And we play. The other thing is, I think we're underrated defensively. A lot of people say we need to play better defense. I think we play pretty damn good defense. You guys know we're in the top 30 in the country in blocks.
Can't argue.
Over 5 blocks a game.
Yeah.
No,
I
think this is a really good team defense squad. And tonight, I know that Texas A&M's shooting percentages don't show that, but I thought tonight was as good a full unit defensive effort as we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we weren't relying on one single player like we have for a bunch of games. Because, I mean, Lamonte Turner, a lot of people forgot. I mean, he went for like 27 against Auburn. We've had guys having to go for the mid-20s to the even into the mid to high 30s for us to win games lately or to be competitive. And tonight we just had everybody doing what they needed to do. Wouldn't you guys just love for the rest of the season for us to have about four or five guys hitting about, you know, 11 to 15 points each?
Well, we're going to win. On that note, there were five players, all five starters, were between 9 and 15 points. You talk about balance. And Grant was the only one not in double figures. He had 9, and he, you know, 3 of 13. If he just goes 4 of 13 or 5 of 13, he's right there with them. And I think they're going to be awful tough to beat if they do that consistently. Go ahead, Bobby.
I'll jump on this, guys, and thank you for so much time, guys. I love hearing you guys on the radio together. It's wonderful. It's appointment radio, even. But I'll say this or ask this. How did Jalen Johnson finally get in the game? I mean, is Darrington in trouble? Is he sick? Or is he just playing? I mean, he's played bad. I'll just leave you guys to discuss that. Have a great night.
Did Darrington play at all tonight, Brian?
Darrington does not show up on the box score, so...
So that's two of the last three games that he's not play. He did not play against Kentucky.
I haven't heard of any suspensions or if he's in the doghouse. No. He just doesn't really. He doesn't really. I guess the matchup just isn't whoever they're playing just doesn't favor him being in the game for long stretches. I don't know what it is.
He got some minutes against Vandy, but not very many. So that's a three-game stretch there. I don't know, Brian, unless he's just kind of falling down on the guard pecking order, and you know, we're getting fairly good guard play. Like you and I have talked about before, if we can get two of the four, between the two Jordans, James Daniel and Turner, if we can get two of those four on their game, we're going to be pretty solid on those nights, and we've been able to do that in this three-game winning streak.
Our number to call in is 865-200-5402. I am going to, Bino, I'm going to go through a few scores here. One from the top 25. North Carolina leads Notre Dame in South Bend 69-68 with 6 seconds to go in the game. In the SEC finals from earlier today, the South Carolina Gamecocks got a big win on the road against Georgia. They beat the Bulldogs 64-57. The Vols play the Gamecocks a week from today. Ole Miss upsets Florida in Oxford. Ole Miss 78, Florida 72. Auburn continues their undefeated run to the SEC. They win at Mississippi State 76-68. And Kentucky goes to Nashville and hands the Commodores another loss. It's Kentucky 74, Vanderbilt 67. And most importantly, in Thompson Bowling Arena, it's Tennessee 75, A&M 62. Final coming up later in about 20 minutes or so. It's LSU hosting Alabama. Let's go to our next call. Who do we have here?
Guys, it's Smitty. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, you know, we got to get Tony on board with, you know, Mr. Rick Barnes. You know, I have a feeling if it was old Donnie tonight that he had been on the show.
Well, I want this to happen. I want Tony to take a bus trip to and have a meet and greet with Coach Barnes after the game, wherever they go to.
Yeah,
you know, I think Tony's been pretty adamant that he likes the way that Rick Barnes is coaching this team. I think his thing is Rick needs to put about an equal effort into recruiting as he does into tutelage and coaching.
Yeah, and, you know, I agree. And I think that, you know, the only thing that I see differently is, you know, he it looks to me like he kind of, you know, built a foundation first before he started recruiting five stars. I mean, you know, or bigger players. And I don't disagree. You know, we could use a different guy. But I will say that the guard play has been the most important step up in the last couple games, and that, you know, there's been some times – well, to start the second half of the Vandy game, you know, we weren't having great play in the first half. Tonight, you know, Grant Williams – you know, you could kind of figure that he wasn't going to score a lot of points. I mean, those big men down there for Texas A&M, we were totally outmatched in this game.
Yep.
I was worried about this game. And, you know, quite frankly, to get a win and as big of a win as we did, I mean, that's huge. You know, like You know, like y'all said, they went to Kentucky. They lost by one. You know, there really should be no reason that we're beating Texas A&M by double digits. But, you know, that might have been one of the sloppiest teams I've ever seen play in Thompson Bowling Arena as an SEC team.
Well, Grant Williams is worn out from the other night, scoring 37 points. So I can excuse him going 3 of 13 from the floor when you really step back and think about it.
Sure,
and I think you're right. I believe this Texas A&M team has just a little bit of a knucklehead factor going on. That's something that Keith Hatfield had mentioned about this Texas A&M team. I think more than anything else, they just haven't had the consistency of the same people on the floor playing together for over a month. I think we'll see them be a lot better going forward.
Yeah, you're gonna. I guarantee you that they can win. You know, they're going to finish in the middle of the pack of the SEC and find their way in the NCAA tournament. There's no question.
I agree.
And, you know, like I said, I think that, you know, granted, you know, Grant was probably pretty worn out, but, I mean, for him to be against those guys, you know, that's what scared me. It's we rely on Grant Williams a lot. We need him to play well. And tonight showed that we don't have to play him or we don't need him to play well to win. You know, that was a great win for us, and hopefully we can go and take on Zoe. And you know, one question that I got is, you know, when Zoe plays here, you know, are the fans gonna? What's the fan reaction going to be for that?
Here's the thing: they only play once this season, and that is in Columbia Wednesday night. I don't believe Missouri plays here this year. That'll be next year.
Right. Thank you. Sorry. So I was, you know, that's bad on my part. But anyway. I appreciate it, guys. Good show, and hopefully Lambrito doesn't have a coronary tomorrow when the Steelers lose. See you guys.
Okay, we've got some other. North Carolina hangs on to beat Notre Dame, number 20th-ranked North Carolina wins 69-68 on the road. And the other game in progress in the SEC that's about to go final, if it hasn't already, let's see here. Arkansas bounces back. They get their second win in SEC play. Speaking of Konzo Martin in Missouri, Arkansas wins 65-63 over Missouri in Fayetteville. That's the Hogs. Only their second win in SEC play and first since they knocked off Tennessee 2 weeks ago. Let's go to our next caller. Who do we have here?
Hey, this is Zach.
Hello, Zach.
Hey, Bino.
Hey, Zach, how are you?
Pretty good. First off, I was there tonight. It was rather enjoyable. The crowd was into it. But one thing that I was really impressed with, and I really feel like tonight might have been his best game I've ever seen him put on, was Kyle Alexander. Man, he really played well. And, you know, I was also impressed with, you know, that Davis kid, Texas A&M, he's, as far as I know, he's considered a last year, maybe it's changed, but last year, you know, he was considered a lottery pick, and he chose not to come out, or maybe a mid-first rounder. And I felt like tonight we took him literally out of the ball.
Yeah, Zach, I thought that Kyle Alexander, he couldn't have picked a better time to play that type of game, because we absolutely had to have him tonight against their size.
Yeah, and something else I'm noticing a lot, when Grant goes to the baseline and to the deep in the post, you know, obviously a lot of people are doubling him now, and you've seen it tonight. There was one instance where he passed all the way across court, and he hit Bowden in the corner for a 3-point shot, and then he found Kyle on that dunk. You know, I think we take for granted how good of a passer Grant Williams is sometimes.
Well, Grant,
no question.
Grant can do other things for you besides just score.
Yeah, he's so smart. It's kind of amazing to actually watch him in person and see truly how good of a player he is. And it was fun to be there tonight.
Well, given his mother's profession, you know that he's got to be smart.
Yeah. And also his offer list coming out of high school. You know, I reckon he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to mention that
from Everett Ivy League school, it's pretty impressive. So it's just a big win. Brian or Bino, either one, what does that make us now? Are we 3-2 in the conference and 13-4 overall, or 12-4?
They are
three,
I believe,
and 12-4.
12-4, 3-2 in the SEC. That's three straight conference wins after starting 0-2.
Okay. And Oliver losses really are good losses. So we're still sitting pretty pretty good.
I'll add that every loss was they were ahead by at least 9 points in every loss.
Yeah.
And they're all the good teams too.
Yeah. That's you know, I thought tonight whenever Texas A&M we kind of got a little bit of complacent. I think we were up 11 and they cut it to 6 and then Grant made that shot. You know, I think there was like 4 minutes to go, and you know, I was sitting there like, oh Lord, you know, it's going to happen again. And you know, I don't think people think or people have talked about it enough, but I feel like our team really grew up against Vanderbilt on the road, and I felt like we finally got over that hump. Given Vanderbilt's not as good as the team that we've lost to, but we finally realized, hey, if we play together and certain people come out looking to score, then we can do this thing.
Zach, I think Jordan Bowden is a real big key for this basketball team. He struggled in the first two games in league. He struggled at Arkansas. He struggled against Auburn. He struggled in the first half at Vandy. And he's played really well since then. And we've probably played three of our better consecutive halves starting there at the second half in Vanderbilt. A lot of it's due to his play. I really believe that.
Well, I truly think that Bowden truly is the X factor to this team, because when he comes out and he's got his hands on his knees waiting on somebody just to pass him the ball, which doesn't happen often. But in other times when he comes out and he's moving off screens and he's trying to get to that pull up, because he has a pull up jumper. He has it. He just don't go to it enough. And tonight it looked like he was trying to get to those spots and get in the lane and I really think this team will obviously go as Grant Williams goes, but I think a second thing is if Bowden is playing good and scoring, we're going to do some things in this league.
Great.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Zach. We'll take our next caller. I'm going to just say that I'm not answering the phones because I'm the only one in the studio, so just it'll eventually put you on hold automatically, and we'll come to you as soon as we can. Let's go to our next caller, but I'll tell you the call-in number is Alex Myers just walks in to the studio with his lovely girlfriend. They just came from Thompson Bowling Arena, where they attended the 75-62 win over Texas A&M. Let's go to our next caller. Who do we have here?
It's Eduardo, guys. What's up?
Eduardo, long time no talk.
Hey, Eddie. It's been a while. It's been a while, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good deal. Good deal. I mean, guys, we're going to 3 wins in conference, 12 overall, 12-4. And, you know, that blown loss at Arkansas, which still stings. I mean, you're up 9 points with 3 minutes to go in the ball game. You ought to be able to close that out. But through all that, guys, considering that Shiano deal and the football and where we're at now, my gosh, what a trip, guys. I mean,
badly needed. Good therapy.
You know, what's the deal with Payton? I mean, is the fan base pretty much just turn her back on? Is he turning his back on us? I mean, what's the deal?
Say that question again.
I said, is Payton turned his back on us after that Shiano deal, or everybody just turned on him, or what? I mean, what's the deal?
Well, I don't want to get too much on this, because we're doing a basketball overtime, but I'll say
yeah,
one thing.
I'm just voicing, Brian.
I will make a point. I think Peyton Manning cares more about hosting ESPYs and filming commercials than being like many other former VFLs and being like and identifying with the Tennessee fans. And I'll just leave it at that.
That was a screwed up mess and a half. It took me, guys. I mean, it absolutely. I had to be peeled off the floor when I heard they were getting ready to announce that guy's coach. I mean, the first thing that came to my mind is exactly what everybody else felt too. I'm just voicing, guys. I know it's a basketball call-in show, but that's just me off the cuff. I haven't talked in a while. I just need to get that out.
Well, we do appreciate you doing that, though.
Thanks for being there. But I tell you, the last guy I was talking about, Williams, could do a lot of things besides score. You doggone right he can. I haven't seen anybody over there on campus, and this is big accolades, I mean, for me, a lifelong UT basketball fan. I mean, Dale Ellis was, you know, top-notch. Chris Lofton was top-notch. But number 53 is what comes to mind when I watch Grant Williams play. Okay, the guy can not only can he rebound, play defense, find open guys. The guy has a motor. Okay, he wants to stick it in your eye and make you like it. That's the kind of player that Tennessee needs. That's the kind of player that Tennessee basketball deserves. And the last time I saw anybody along these lines is number 53. Now I know Williams is not, you know, as accomplished as Bernard, but he's still, man, he is the go-to guy in crunch situations. He's going to get it done. The offense ought to run through him every time down the floor. Your thoughts?
Alex, go.
Well, I think one of the things, and I was listening on the way over here, and I appreciate y'all being patient with me. Well, I was listening on one of the caller before this, I think it was, and he was talking about all the things that Williams does, and he was talking about his passing. But, guys, one thing I noticed tonight, when you start playing basketball at the middle, especially more towards the high school level, it's not just about passing, but it's more about how you pass. And one thing I noticed tonight was Grant Williams was getting double-teamed, yes. But instead of doing like a lot of guys do and getting themselves in trouble and jumping up, leaving your feet, giving yourselves no option, and you just have to throw it if you can't find anybody, he was using his pivot foot to step through the screen, split the defenders, and he found guys several times doing that, not only splitting the defenders, but he was splitting the defenders as he headed towards the basket. And that's how he found, I think, Schofield near at the end. That was one thing that stood out to me from Williams specifically tonight.
Hey, that explosion that he had on that dunk against Arkansas, man, I mean, that was next level stuff. That was the next league above. I mean, that was a heck of a yank, man. I mean, when you go up that high and just come down hard, that was incredible. But I really enjoy watching this guy play. He's something special. He really is. And not to get any higher. Go ahead, Bino.
Eduardo, I agree. When I see him, I think more of Howard Wood than I do, just simply because the body type, the body type kind of suggests that he's going to be something other than what he is. He does as much as you could possibly do at his size. He's a good student. He's a good decision maker. Like tonight, I mean, he was 3 for 13. Obviously, didn't have a shooting night like he's capable of having, but I don't think he forced one shot. I think every decision he made was the right one, whether it was to take a shot or whether it was to find an open man. And I think he's obviously the leader of this basketball team, captain on the floor. So I agree with you. I think he's a joy to watch. We need to cherish every minute we have, and we'll probably have we'll have 4 years of it, which is a good thing, barring an injury.
I hope so. That's the case. I look forward to the season. By the way, did you guys mention the Wilson guy for A&M, that the last time he played Tennessee, he was with Marquette and put 30 on the board against us in 2014?
Oh, shoot.
Who was this again?
Wilson, kid. The guy playing for A&M. He's, you know, a graduate transfer. He had 30.
Oh, Dwayne Wilson. Dwayne Wilson.
Yeah. He had 30 against us in the tournament, I think, down in Orlando. But he lit us up like a night torch.
This was his first game back after injury, suspension, something. I'm not sure which that was. But this is his first game back.
I honestly don't recall that game at all. That's been totally thrown out of my memory, if it even happened.
That's one of those that we just choke away after, because I'm sure we probably lost too. Guys, we lost a great one today. I can still hear them. You know, they've been saving themselves. That's what he said. 86 Sugar Bowl, and also too, Powell and Walter Mitty story. He said, "Powell's going. Goodbye, guys. Have a good one. See you."
Brian, you know, one thing that also, and I don't think it could be stated enough, is, you know, Grant Williams gets a lot of credit, and deservedly so. He's a really good ball player, and especially this year, he's carried the torch for us a lot of nights. However, I think one thing that lets him get the looks he does is, you know, you think about it, he isn't very big. And so a lot of times you do get double teams, or a lot of times you do get the defense kind of helping off and sucking down a little bit to help him. And if you don't have shooters like Bone, or excuse me, like Bowden, guys like Turner, not just hitting from the outside, but hitting from inside the stripe as well, you've got to have other guys that can make jump shots. And that's certainly helped Grant Williams this year.
Well, and it would help Grant Williams if he could be guarded every night by someone like the poor stiff at Vanderbilt.
Yep.
Who was trying to guard him the other night that had Zai's advantage on him. It could help, but let's go ahead.
Real quick, I don't think you're not going to play a ton of teams the rest from here on out. Period. That have the kind of not only the size but the size and skill level put together that Texas A&M's big men had tonight.
Absolutely, I mean, big men really it's almost like lost art to find skilled big men these days, because it's more of a guard oriented deal now.
And if I was Davis. I mean, you remember a few years ago when Stokes went off? Was it the Texas A&M game, guys, where he went off on the reporters asked him something, and he was basically complaining he didn't get the ball enough? That's exactly what I'd do if I was Davis. I mean, how do you have that size disadvantage and just not get the ball? I think he had 0 points at halftime, maybe one.
Well, he only shot 8 shots, had two of them were threes, which I don't know if that's what they want him to do.
No.
Mostly a shoot three. He actually had a big miss from three that I think sort of really helped Tennessee during one stretch where they eventually got the rebound and Admiral got fouled shooting a three-pointer, and I thought that was a big part of the game, or a big point in the game. But let's
it's almost like, guys, that they would be better off with Williams and Davis playing separately, not playing together. It's almost like there's not enough in there for both of them.
Well, and I think it's a good point, Bino, because at the point when you're 0-5, I guess 0-6 now, is that correct?
0-5.
0-5.
They're 0-5.
Okay. At this point, nothing's for granted. You're going to have to shake things up. Whatever you're doing right now is not working. So I certainly agree with you, Bino. You might as well try that. You got to try something at this point.
Let's go to our next caller. 865-200-5402 is the number to call in on Basketball Overtime. Who do we have here?
Tom from Houston.
Hola, Tom.
Listen, I'm telling you what, these other stations should be shaking in their boots. Here the Putin Poots up in Philadelphia throwing batteries, but the Basilio tree, once again, is showing its strength. I'm telling you, you guys are awesome. Thanks for being out there tonight.
Well, we appreciate that, Tom. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling.
Listen, I think it's important for the basketball team to be competitive and show all around sports, because didn't we have a lot of possible recruits on campus today? And you know that's got to be a juice for them to see a basketball arena like that. I mean, there's nothing like it except for maybe Kentucky and Arkansas and the SEC, and neither one produces or will produce football on the caliber that the Big Orange do. So,
well, did you go? You didn't go to the game today, I'm assuming, if you're in Houston, right?
No, I didn't, man.
Okay, well, I just want to – you brought up something in my mind, and what it was, you talk about the basketball players talking about the football players, rather, saying, hey, imagine what the football fans could do if this is just a basketball crowd. They actually introduced Trey Smith at one of the TV timeouts. I think it was in the first half, and he got a standing ovation. They announced his name two or three different times. He waved to the crowd. Kind of like they do to former basketball players like Ron Slay, they did a couple weeks ago. And so I think, to your point, what a time to do that and to show them. And that guy's just a freshman, you know, so I think that certainly would have an impact.
Well, this guy's doing a great job. And Bino, listen, man, I've been the biggest critic of that London NFL game since it started. But now I'm going to go over next October and see the Titans play the Chargers. I got to have me some blood pudding and go see a football game.
You're going to go all the way to London to see the Titans?
Absolutely. The future Super Bowl champions. I can't wait until the year when it's across the board. Tennessee, you know, you got hockey, the Titans, and the Big Orange standing tall in the That time is coming. I may not be alive when it is.
But hey, well, the Ice Bears are doing their part.
Well, since we're all Tennessee, don't forget about Vanderbilt. They're in Nashville, and they're in Tennessee, too.
You can't repeat a team that has a Barry Manilow song as their pop song.
not a big fan of the London game either, especially since it means when the Colts play over there, they usually suck on two different continents.
Well, listen, you guys are doing a great job. I'll let somebody get in and go Big Orange.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
And we are wide open. We want you to fill up those phone lines. We're going to go probably till maybe a little bit after 9. We might take it to about a quarter after the 9 o'clock hour, so that's about 45 minutes. Hit us up. 865-200-5402 is our number. We have Brian Hartman, Alex Myers, and Jeff Henderson, also known as Beano, filling in for Tony Basilio, who is got his son Anthony's first, I guess, the first time he's witnessed a playoff game, probably in person, and it was a win for his Philadelphia Eagles over the Atlanta Falcons earlier as they beat Atlanta 15-10. Right now, the Titans and Patriots are scoreless in the first quarter. Tomorrow, a couple more games in the NFL, but that's all for that right now. Tennessee beats Texas A&M 75-62 to improve to 3-2 in the SEC and 12-4. Correct? 12-4 overall.
I believe
3-2 in the SEC.
Yeah, 12-4. And you know, just to that point, Tony tweeted out a few minutes ago, having experienced victorious playoff football today as an Eagles living fan, I honestly can't wait until the living Vol fan experiences winning in the college football playoff. We're coming for you. Hashtag Vols. And, you know, I know Anthony or Tony and Tony has talked a lot about Anthony kind of wanting to get away, and he's witnessed a lot of the Vols down years, and that's got to be a great feeling to go up there, travel all that way. A lot of people, including myself, they were favoring Atlanta to win that game, and really to come out of there, it wasn't a pretty game, but to come out of there with a win, that's got to be a great experience for Tony and his son and the friend that they brought along.
Honestly, if Atlanta didn't get that punt muff punt gift wrap to him, I don't know if they score a touchdown in that game. Let's go to our next call. Who do we have here?
Roddy Moore Hartman!
Philadelphia.
What's going on, big man?
Don't forget to shout out to Alex, too, and Beano.
What's going on, guys?
How are you, Philly?
Ah, it's good to be Texas A&M scum, you know it. I can go down back and milk a cow out here in Texas now.
Hey, Phil, were you surprised that this is the first time Tennessee has beaten Texas A&M at home since they joined the league? I think it's their fourth attempt. They were 0-3 coming into tonight, and they're 1-3, although they had won twice previously in College Station.
Well, we really haven't had a good team until this year when we played them. I mean, all the other times they beat us, we had mediocre teams.
Well, the Sweet 16 team, I don't think that was a mediocre team as far as talent goes, but I think it was mediocre
Martin.
Coached, and they played mediocre.
Did you see Conzo Martin get out coached again by Mike Anderson today?
Second straight Saturday that Missouri has lost a 2-point game like that. They lost to Florida at home last week by 2, and then Arkansas gets them today by 2 points.
Man, I hate that.
Well,
for Missouri.
Hopefully we can go to Missouri and win. I mean, let's just keep focused and keep improving and keep the defense going. I mean, Tennessee won that game more than Texas A&M did. Texas A&M's got some problems on their roster. I mean, for them to have that much talent and be that crummy, it's a mind-boggling to me.
Well, they're a team that shouldn't. As Beano made a point, they probably won't lose 5 more SEC games the rest of the way, and I sure hope that's the case for them, for their fans' sake, because if they do lose 5 more games, they're 8-10 in the conference, which is definitely way below what they thought they would be. But, there is the point of view that, is this something that they can fix? Is this just a case of the first game, they're all back together?
I don't care if they fix it or not, dude. Let's get some tournament, you know?
Philly, I think that the thing is, you got to be concerned about guys with Texas A&M is you got to want to fix it. And I don't know that looking at those players' faces, their gestures, their body movement, I don't know that they want to fix it, not bad enough at least.
Phil, I said earlier that I'd heard Keith Hatfield say that he thought that Texas A&M had a knucklehead factor going on, part of what caused the suspensions and that type of thing. But now that was a team that was playing really good basketball until the suspensions hit and the injuries hit.
Yeah.
I really believe now that they're back to full strength. I think we'll see closer to the team that was playing in November and early December than what we've seen in SEC play. But, you know, you can't turn the ball over 13 times in a half like they did. And you nailed it on Friday. You know, their point guard play is subpar.
And A&M had what I heard on the snooze machine, A&M had 3 offensive rebounds. That's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, I
with
thought
their
we
bigs.
Did a great job on the defensive boards, a great job.
And, well, all we need, guys, is just another great player in here, and you're looking to see a top-10 basketball program. It ain't that hard.
No, I think what we saw tonight should be the norm. I mean, Tennessee should be
exactly.
an NCAA tournament team 4 out of every 5 years, if not all 5 years.
And look at that. I didn't go tonight, but my nephew did, and he said it was 90% full. Well, they had 20,000 there tonight.
Yeah, Philly, I made a statement to the guy, one of the guys I was sitting with, and to me, ever since the North Carolina game, I thought the Kentucky crowd may have been a tiny bit more full than the North Carolina crowd. I don't know, but tonight, like you said, I'd say it's about 90% full, and even on the ends and the upper deck, or excuse me, the sideline side on the upper deck was full almost nearly to the top.
Well, you got to think that even though it's 90% full, in most other arenas, it's a standing room only sellout.
And exactly, and let's talk about this. Who wants to get out in that weather? I didn't. Now I went, but that was a miserable 10-minute walk back to the car.
Played prospects in there, you know, see all the good-looking women. I mean, that's how you recruit.
I think this is only maybe there's one more Saturday game before signing day. So that was pretty important tonight.
It was, and also if you look down at the schedule, there's not a ton of other really intriguing matchups on a home Saturday game period left this season.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think the NFL playoffs may have kept some people from coming to the game tonight? And the same thing could have been true with Kentucky.
I don't watch these sloppy Oilers. They're no good. I mean, God, who wants to watch that crap?
Well, the NFL's, despite some of the ratings decline, it's still the playoffs.
Hey, Houston Oilers number one.
There you go. Well, my congratulations to Tony getting him a playoff victory. And I love Rick Barnes. See ya!
Pino. I know Philadelphia's happy because he's watched a lot of lousy basketball here. Guys, one of the biggest things that we've seen in this last 3 games is Tennessee has finally found a way to close basketball games. That has been the biggest bugaboo, whether it's closing out a season or whether it's closing out a game here early in the Rick Barnes era. And I was really happy to see them win 3 games in a row that they had to play solidly in the second half and in the last 10 minutes in order to win all of those games.
865-200-5402 is the number. Let's go to our next caller. Who do we have here?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's Don.
Don,
yeah.
Welcome.
Yes. Go ahead, Don. You're on. We don't have a screener. You're on.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, guys. It's always nice to win a home game. It's always nice to win any game. But I was quite impressed. And just to go ahead and talk about what has been brought up, Kyle Alexander. I just tonight. I don't know. We had a couple games early. Wasn't doing much. Wasn't getting on the court. But boy, he picked as somebody said earlier, he picked a good night. I mean, not just that he had his 14 points and blocked shots and stuff, but, you know, he's 5 or 6, 5 out of 6 from the field. Pretty impressive stuff for a guy that, for the first couple of years, just looked like he was taking up space.
Don, I think one thing that Kyle Alexander brings to the table defensively that no one else really on this team can bring is the fact that once he gets beat or if he's coming over as the help defender, meaning he's not the guy directly guarding the person that's driving in towards the basket. Even if he gets beat or the guy's a step faster, he has the length and the ability to reach over and block it without getting his body into him. And Grant Williams, unfortunately for him, a lot of times has to get much closer and you see a lot more fouls. But that's one thing I think Kyle Alexander is really useful for on the defensive end, as you were talking about.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, Jordan, to close out the first half, and then they're late in stemming the tide. I mean, when he really makes up his mind that he's going to take somebody to the rack, he's got the ability to do it. You know, I mean, he's just, you know, like the last game, you know, he had a few points, but that stone cold three he hit to stem that run by the other team so that we could pull on out against Vandy. He just, you know, I think Jordan, I hope he continues, kind of like Kyle Alexander, he just gets better and better But the one guy that nobody's mentioned tonight that played his normal stellar self is the Admiral. The Admiral is a man's man, is he not?
Yep.
He is, Don. He's on a really good run right now. The only part of Admiral's game that's even questionable right now is sometimes when he handles the ball down the court. You know, right. You don't want him doing that, but everything else, as far as rebounding and defending and scoring after contact and knocking down threes, he is on a really nice run here.
Well, his name's Admiral. He better live up to that. Better play like that.
Bino, a guy who I'm just, as Don's describing him, and I'm thinking about the games he's had this season and seasons past, how accurate do you think it would be to compare him, not necessarily physically, although he is much more undersized than the people he's normally guarding, but with the things he does and how even if he's got 5 or 6 points, he can still have a terrific performance and do all the little things. How do you think he compares to a guy like Dane Bradshaw about a decade ago?
Yeah, I mean they're different players in that Dane was more a handler of the basketball, obviously, than Schofield is, and Schofield was. But yeah, I mean they're both. The thing you said is right. They're both pretty solidly built, and use that to make up for their lack of length.
They were interviewing him after the game, and if I didn't misunderstand what he said, he had a pretty good little interview, you know, smiling, doing his thing, and talked about, you know, how, you know, we just got to outwork them, do this, that, you know, all the good stuff. And somebody said, well, how are you going to continue to do that? And he you know, your teammates, and get them to do it. He said, they just got to play like me. So the TV.
You don't ever have to worry about his energy, Don, that's for sure.
No.
He doesn't have a low energy night. He's only got one speed, and it gets him in trouble sometimes.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a low energy night.
Yeah, Arkansas in particular, he just looked, I mean, he was just going too fast for himself. And
yeah.
Probably it's the worst game he's had this year. A friend of mine texted me about halftime and said, is Admiral on drugs? I don't know what he's on, sugar high or something. He's sure messing it up tonight. But other than that game, I can't think of another one that he's not. You know, and talking about, and then I'll get off, but just talking about Kyle and the way he's come on. A game, if you go way back to the start of the season, you know, probably the biggest mystery thing he ever done was when he, in overtime, we nailed that three as the clock was about to expire against Purdue.
You mean the Kyle Alexander, the one in overtime?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's probably the only three-pointer he's going to take in his career. I mean, hope he got all out of it that he could. Hope he enjoyed it.
Now, you sound like you're picking on the kid that was here for a couple of years that Philly didn't like to see the ball. Reese. Well, guys, I'm going to get off. It's been a great three-game run here. It'll be interesting to see the RPI strength of schedule and the coaches and AP folks come Monday. So, and hopefully all those football recruits got charged up, and we'll make a big haul tonight or over this weekend. So, talk to you later.
Thank you, Don. 865-200-5402. Let's take our next call. Who do we have here?
Hey, this is Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Bino, first of all, let me say, I'm not a frequent caller. I listen as much as I can, but I got to tell you, when you guys do a show like you did yesterday with Brock and Philly, and you bring in Dr. Sinclair, I'm telling you, for a Tennessee fan, that is as good as it gets in terms of sports radio, or just enjoying the experience as a Tennessee fan. And I'd rather listen to that than anything on ESPN, Fox Sports, I don't know. So I want to commend you guys. And, of course, I know that Tony is the guy that pulls all this together, but I just think that's great, and I appreciate you all taking the time to do that.
Hey, Mark, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I mean, that's just a bunch of guys that we're just listeners on the radio. We're just fans and callers and listeners on the radio. And Tony's just one of the few guys in the world that would ever give a bunch of knuckleheads like us a chance to do that. So I really appreciate you saying that. That's what we hope is. It's just like you're sitting around with your buddies just talking about sports. That's what it should be anyway.
Hey, Mark, I'll add on to that. I'll just say a quick word. You said it better than I could say. But, you know, I think, but you know what, it and Sinclair and all those guys that they're listening, what it proves to me, even when Tony's gone, is that, you know, a lot of people talk about their radio family, their whatever, their radio community. The Basilio Radio family is just that, and it shows not only because you guys are good at what you do when you get together, but the laughs, the camaraderie, it really shows the family atmosphere with the Basilio Radio family, and I, as a listener, I really appreciate that, too.
That's very well said. That's very well said. Thank you, Alex.
Sure it is. Sure is, Alex. That's a great comment. I think that Don from Sweetwater, I was counting on him hammering on the officials a little longer than he typically does, and he talked more about some of the things that I was going to talk about, so he needs to get back into his role and just complain about the officials. But
you make a good point, though. I didn't notice the officials tonight. I didn't notice one thing about
so
the
that means TV Ted was not doing the game.
And we got out of there in just under 2 hours, so that also means TV Ted wasn't a part. No, I agree with you, Mark. Just the fact that there was a couple early walk times I thought that they missed some walks on Texas A&M, but other than that, like Bino said, when you don't notice the referees, that means they're doing the best they can.
It's a well-called game. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And just to let you guys know, you may not be keeping up, but Titans Bill Sausage may not be baked yet. The Titans have scored more touchdowns than the Eagles did tonight right now. So how about that, of all the crazy things? But anyway, let's talk about the basketball team. We've got some guys that are settled into their roles, and you can count on them game in, game out to produce in their roles at a high level for us to win in the SEC and get into postseason play. But the one thing that I keep scratching my head over, and I think it will make the difference as we go deep into this thing, is first of all, what in the world causes Kyle Alexander to play good about once every 6 weeks? And is it just a matchup thing? I mean, I think it was probably the Purdue game the last time since he played like he did tonight. And I think he got a career high in points. But I just wonder if you guys have any ideas about what causes Kyle to have a good game. And the second thing seems to make a difference with this team is whether our guards can play good enough defense to keep the opponents from just driving the basketball on us. In some of the close games that we've lost, the Arkansas game in particular, oh my gosh, I mean, every time that Arkansas had the ball when they were making their comeback and taking the lead, it was just our guards' ability to stop the penetration, or maybe that's a team defense thing. Maybe I should look beyond just the guards and look to our big guys providing help. But those two things, guard penetration by our opponents and Kyle Alexander playing more like he did tonight, I think can cause us to have a really good basketball team. But I don't know how to make that happen game in, game out. So I'd love to hear your all's thoughts.
Well, I'll say about Kyle, he really is one of those players that's more fits into a role that doesn't really require him to score a whole lot. And that may be why he's sort of inconsistent in that faucet.
Brian,
I think that Kyle has had he's had a much better year this year than I ever thought that I would see him have. As a Tennessee player, I think that he has improved this year in leaps and bounds. Now, he is reliant on certain matchups. He's not going to give you much against teams like Arkansas that are going to run it up and down, or teams like Auburn that are real small, because he doesn't have he doesn't have a defensive matchup and a defensive role in those games. But for the most part, if the other team's got a big man, we rely on him quite a bit. And I think that he's done a pretty good job this year, much far beyond what I saw in his first two seasons.
And I'll just piggyback off of that real quickly and say that the one thing that I've noticed with Kyle is I agree with you, Brian, that a lot of times he may play well but not score a ton, so it may seem like he's kind of disappeared. But my thing is, there's been a lot of times, it may have been the North Carolina game where we got in here and talked about, he played really well while he was in there, but he just gets pulled and he didn't play a lot for whatever reason. Now, that may be matchups, yep. That may be this, that, or the other. But I think if he's shown this year that if he plays with any sort of consistency, he's had the tendency certainly to play very well.
We do need to do a better job of keeping in front of guards. And I know that we rely on some help, but we need to, our guards need to do a better job as a whole of not having to rely on help, because that's how we wind up getting Grant Williams and Schofield and guys like that in foul trouble.
Well, guys, I certainly appreciate the show tonight. As Tony would say, the mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging Kentucky fans, I don't know what kind of a post-game show they had tonight, but they like to beat their chest as the real thoroughbreds of basketball. But I don't know that they're going to have a show as informed and as entertaining as you guys are having tonight. And so, once again, I commend you for all the great work you do, and I think word is continuing to get out about the Basilio Network, and I sure hope that it's working out for Tony, because I think it's really, really unique, and I'm sure a lot of fan bases across the country would be very jealous of what we have available to us here in Knoxville. So thanks a lot, guys, and have a great evening.
Thank you for the call. We still have a few more minutes to go here. I think I'm going to take it to maybe 9:15. If we don't get it, any phone activity, I might shut it down a little bit before that, but the number is 865-200-5402. Alex?
I want to ask, see, both of you, Brian and Bino, you too, your thoughts, and maybe next time we have a show and Mark or Keith can join us there as well, is, you know, Barnes plays a ton of guys, and a lot of teams do this time of year, but a lot of times in late January, early February, coaches will start to cut down two or three guys on their rotation, and their rotation starts to shorten, and they can get more of a rhythm. Do you two think that time is coming for this team, or do you think that this team is one of the reasons that they've had success is because they're so deep?
Chris Darrington, has he played the last couple nights?
Not much. Bino said it earlier, I think not much, sparingly, if so.
I wanted to get your take on why you think he might not.
I don't know. I'm kind of with Bino. I think that a lot of that could be due to matchups, but I also don't know that Darrington brings you a lot that some other guys that are already playing don't. I mean, certainly did you, midway through the first half, did you think to yourself, where's Darrington? Because I didn't.
Well,
I didn't think about it at all until after the game, which tells me you're not missing a ton.
Yeah, I think Daniel would have been somebody you'd miss maybe more before you would Darrington.
Yeah, I think so. Even though Daniel's been inconsistent, but he's got the ability to be able to take control and handle things if Bone or Turner has to go out for a moment.
We have a.
I think that we're beginning to see the guys that are going to play the majority of the minutes. If there's a cutback as far as minutes go, I think where we're going to see it is Fulkerson, is Walker, and Darrington. And other than that, I think that the minutes are going to stay pretty consistent based on, you know, unless they're just having a night where they're not contributing. I think the guys that we saw tonight are the guys that we're going to see get the majority of the minutes.
Well, Fulkerson has been earning more playing time the last couple nights since the Kentucky game.
I don't know, Brian, if I thought that he did some nice things tonight. I thought he obviously played really well offensively against Kentucky. I thought he did a couple of good things tonight as well. I just wonder if his level of physicality is not going to require them to kind of cut back his minutes as we go through the SEC season. But it'll be interesting to see.
Well, he's a great passer. We saw against Kentucky.
If a team is playing a zone –
Yeah.
If a team's playing a zone where he can come up in that high post and distribute, he needs to play. But other than that, he's just not physical enough. He hasn't had a healthy off season in the weight room to where he can score through contact, to where he can box out, to where, you know, he's just not basically shoved out of his position.
An SEC score to update, LSU is leading Alabama 21-16 with 7.5 minutes to go before halftime. The LSU Tigers sort of surprising some folks on a little bit of a roll. Alabama has been terribly inconsistent. There was a lot expected from them in preseason, but they've struggled a little bit in conference play so far. The SEC, you just don't know night in and night out. I don't know how they handicap this. I don't know how Vegas sets lines,
well,
honestly.
And I think part of that is to do with how much deeper and how much more depth the league has as far as quality depth. You know, before you have the past few years, you'd have three, four teams, five teams that you could have in a discussion pretty late in the season of, okay, do you think they're going to get in? Are they on the bubble? This year, Lenardi the other day, the last time I had seen it a few days back, it was like nine teams. And I don't know if that'll happen. But I think part of that is just kind of cannibalism within the league. And, you know, guys, you're talking about guys who don't play a lot, Fulkerson being one of them. Did you guys notice Jalen Johnson? We had a Jalen Johnson sighting.
Someone said I didn't realize Jalen Johnson had played any, but someone mentioned that he had been in the game.
He played, and he played actually probably for at least 5 minutes of game time, I'd say. I mean, he played quite a bit. He didn't really do anything while he was in there, but he was in there a lot longer than I would have expected him to.
Yeah, and also Derek Walker got some minutes as well. He had been getting minutes, so I believe maybe Derek Walker, maybe they're trying to determine if they want to see if those guys can be counted on later in the season if they need be. I mean, certainly if somebody picks up foul trouble, they're going to be needed to come in and give someone a lift.
And I think when you guys were talking about Fulkerson and you two were talking about his ability to distribute within a zone if a team's playing zone against us, my only thing with him is you've seen him struggle for a significant portion of the year, and a lot of us have talked about potentially his struggles having to do primarily with the fact that he's not in a rhythm and he hasn't played, he hasn't been in basketball shape 100%, and he hasn't, you can't simulate real games. Well, my problem is if you start to cut down your rotation, and he is one of those guys, I don't know if you can count on him to come out if he hadn't played in two or three games.
I really believe his biggest struggles, Alex, are on the defensive end. I think he can do enough for you offensively currently, even though he's not as strong as he will be in future years here. But it's hard to find a defensive matchup where it looks like that he helps you.
Tennessee improves to, I guess they're tied for fifth in the SEC standings right now at 3-2. LSU playing right now, but Florida and Kentucky both 4-1. Auburn is undefeated at 4-0 at top of the conference. Kentucky's only loss was last Saturday to Tennessee. And Texas A&M, it just looks weird to see them way down at the bottom, below, you know, even below Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, seriously, anybody in the SEC can, I mean, it's just even Vanderbilt,
yeah.
They've got Roberson, LeChance, and Fisher Davis, who played a lot of basketball.
Yeah, name a team in the league that couldn't be beat by any other team, and I don't think you can.
No, I mean, one point to make is that there's not a game in the SEC, especially when you go on the road, that you can say we're winning that game.
Well, I think you brought it up, Ryan, earlier. The next two games, Missouri and then South Carolina, is that correct?
Yeah, South Carolina won a big game today on the road at Georgia.
Yeah, so and you. You know, those aren't two really good teams by any stretch of the imagination at all.
Oh, but South Carolina's really rugged, and
yeah.
They're coming off the Final Four. It's going to be down there. I think it's going to be maybe a night tip-off. I'm not sure, maybe 6 in the evening. So I don't count that as a win.
No, I don't think you can hardly count anything as a win until it happens, just because this league is sort of a meat grinder this year. And although, especially for Tennessee, although the team is experienced for their age, they are still relatively young, and you know, it's hard to win road games in college basketball.
And on another point to make there is that also means the chances of having a really bad loss are not there. Tennessee really has no bad losses. Mm-hmm. And the only bad loss I can see that they could have is Vanderbilt at home the rest of the way. Even, I guess, maybe Ole Miss at home would might be close. But, you know, you look at the records, look at some of these teams, look at the RPI. Most SEC teams, their RPIs are over 100.
It looked to me like today, guys, that the most damaging loss in the league was Georgia losing at home to South Carolina.
Yeah, that's not a good loss for them.
Yeah, Georgia's lost, I think, two in a row now. They struggled this week. It's been a tough week for University of Georgia athletics. Think about it. They lost on the road to Missouri in basketball the other night. I won't even mention what happened in Monday night against Alabama in the national championship game, and now today. So, although I don't feel sorry for them.
Although, yeah, here you don't have to mention, but I will. Yeah, they lost on a last-second deep throw from a true freshman quarterback, and it just diminished their chances of finally getting it since for the first time since Herschel. And if you guys want to call in, 865-200-5402, as we just got, I think, just a couple more minutes left in the show.
And Georgia doesn't defend last-play Hail Marys very well. That's probably their weakness. As we did have,
guys, if the Riders, if the basketball Riders had it to do over, I don't know how they've done. I don't know how they'll wind up doing with their middle of the league predictions, but their top and bottom predictions aren't working out very well, because I believe they picked Texas A&M to win the league, and they picked Tennessee and LSU to finish 13th and 14th.
Well, LSU is if they beat Alabama, they're going to be 3-1 in the SEC and 12-4 overall. And they're going to be fourth.
That's the most stunning thing in that and A&M being 0-5 are the two most stunning things we've seen so far.
Who do we have? 865-200-5402. I think this might be our final call of the evening. Who do we got?
What's happening, gentlemen?
What's up? Jeeker.
Hey, guys, I'll tell you what. I'm feeling pretty good right now, because I was worried, and I said it at the start of this seven-game stretch, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we went 3-4. If we go 2-5, we're done for. And you talk about the most important game always being your next game. That's what we got the rest of the year. We got to beat Missouri.
Well, guys, they're going on the road to Missouri and South Carolina this coming week. I got a feeling that they're going to at least split those. And they'll be 4-3.
And that would be the 3-4 I'm predicting. I said I would take it, but I'd much rather have 4-3. We got a chance. We got to beat Missouri first. But if we win these two ball games, these are two huge ball games this week.
I don't know who they're going to beat. They're going to beat one of the two. I just can't. I don't know. I have no idea which team that is. It's so unpredictable. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, I wrong guy to ask. I don't know. You know, that's hard to tell, but I think you were alluding to this a second ago, was just the fact.
Why can't they go win both of them?
Oh, they certainly can, and Jeeker, they certainly should. But it's hard to predict that with as unpredictable as teams have been on the road in the SEC this year. But I think you were kind of alluding to this a second ago, Jeeker, is that if they can get through these two games, split them, or especially if they can go 2-0, their schedule for the remainder of the season is pretty favorable.
Exactly.
Exactly. Guys, if you can just split the next two games, and I agree with you, Jeeker, both of them are winnable games, but as we've already said, there's a whole bunch of losable games in this league, because it's a razor's edge difference between a lot of these teams. We go on the road and split that and come back and beat Vandy. You wind up at 5-3 after eight games, after starting 0-2 and giving both of those games away. We'll be giving one of them away and just basically sleepwalking through another. I don't believe that we could ask for anything more than that.
I was really pissed off after that Auburn game and the lack of effort. Beano, I think you were there with me. You turn around and beat Kentucky and Vanderbilt, especially beating Vanderbilt in Nashville, and that'll forgive. That'll erase a lot of sins.
It's a really refreshing turnaround.
Yeah, it's absolutely. So it's still something I haven't really forgotten about, but I can forgive it. It's easily forgiven. Jeeker.
All right, guys. I'm just pulling Leroy on you. I came to where the radio was. Sorry about that.
Without the 10-second delay.
But, no, guys, just good to have y'all in there tonight, and big win.
Absolutely, Jake. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeeker. Alex, I think, and Beano, I think that's going to wrap this edition of Basketball Overtime up. We do appreciate everyone that listened and everyone that called. And, Beano, we'll go around the room. Let's get your final thoughts. Beano first.
Guys, I just think it's an excellent recovery for this basketball team. And a caller said it early in the show, and I agree. I think the Tennessee's basketball team learned tonight that they can win on a night when Grant Williams isn't carrying the scoring load. And I think that's important going forward. And for this team to be 3-2 and to have closed out three games in a row,
when failing to close games out was the biggest bugaboo of the Barnes era. I think that's huge. I don't think that we could ask to be sitting in any better position than we are right now. I'm really, really pleased with the win.
Yeah, I kind of just want to echo your thoughts and kind of along what Jeeker was saying is with this upcoming stretch, really starting with this week, you've got a bunch of winnable games, and it's important to win, to beat the teams that you should beat. In Texas A&M tonight, 2 weeks ago, maybe you wouldn't have said that, but tonight, certainly, this is a team you've got to beat. And it was a team that I thought it was a dangerous team to play against because they're healthier, they're back together, they've got more of their roster back together, whether it's suspension, whether it's injury. And I thought, you know, sitting at 0-4, this might be a fight-or-flight type of game. And the Vols came out early and didn't show really any give. And kind of like you were saying, Bino, this team, I think you may be starting, hopefully, to see that turn the corner in the fact that I saw you guys tweeting, or Brian, at least you were, about the halftime lead. You didn't feel good about us having a halftime lead, but we never really relinquished that. It got down to, I think, what, 6?
It went pretty 14 late. To 6 pretty quickly.
It did.
And comfortably, too.
It did, but then we responded. I think it was Bone that hit a shot, and it wasn't necessarily pretty down the stretch, but you got the job done, and I think that's important.
And you just could not afford to drop tonight's game at home before you go on the road for 2. That would have been very worrisome to be 2-3 going for back-to-back games on the road. That really neither one is a picnic. Bino, we do appreciate everything, and thank you for filling in and pitch-hitting for Mark Griffin and Keith. Hopefully,
Keith
gets better.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I enjoyed it, and everyone have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too, Bino.
Thank you, Bino. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, listeners. We're going to sign off. This has been Basketball OT. We'll talk to you on the Tony Basilio Show this Monday at 11 o'clock.
Go Titans.
Go Jags.
You found Gates.